Today's Shir Masechta Erevin Daf Tzadik Tes. We will begin at Daf Tzadik Ches Mabez at the bottom of the Omer at the Mishnah. Teaches us the Mishnah, Omer Adam Rishus Hayochid. A person could be standing in Rishus Hayochid. He could be standing in his home or in his roof. Umatalta Rishus Rabim, and he can move objects in Rishus Rabim. And there is no concern that he's going to bring. We don't need to be concerned that he's going to bring that object from Rishus HaYachid, from Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYachid. Similarly, Rishus HaRabim, a person could be standing in Rishus HaRabim, metalta Rishus HaYachid, and move an object in Rishus HaRabim. And again, we don't have to be concerned that he's going to move the object from one Rishus to another Rishus. Uvad, shlayotze b'chutza arbis. That means, if he's standing in Rishus HaYachid, and he's moving an object in the Rishus Rabim, then he has to be careful not to move it more than 4 amos, because we know that there's an issue to move any object 4 amos in Rishus Rabim. The Gemara is going to teach us that this halacha is even if it's not Rosh Shiva Rubai, even if most of his body is not in the Rishus where the object is, Chazal, the Rabbanan, as we'll learn in the Gemara in a few moments, were not concerned that you're going to bring the object into the Rishus. The Tana brought 2 different examples. One was standing in Rishus HaYochid and moving in Rishus Rabim, and one was standing in Rishus Rabim and moving in Rishus HaYochid. The reason explains the Kol HaRamaz. The principle is the exact same. So what's the reason that the Mishnah gave us both cases? So a concept that we've discussed many times from the beginning of Masechet Shabbos, that since Hotzah is a Melacha Geruah, the explanation we normally give why Hotzah is a Melacha Geruah is because you could carry something heavy in the Rishus HaYochid all day long and it will not, and you will not be Chayiv. But if you carry that same a needle from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim, vice versa, you'll be chayiv. People have a hard time absorbing this halacha, and because they have a hard time absorbing this halacha, Chazal had to be so explicit and teach us what is mutter, what, how everything is mutter, is asur, and we can't learn one from the other. There's another very interesting point that the Rishonim make in our Gemara. The Mishnah says you're not allowed to stand in Rishus HaYochid and move an object in Rishus HaRabim. As long as you make sure that you don't move it more than 4 amos. We've learned previously that even though the Issa Deraisa of carrying something in Rishus HaRabim is indeed only Dalar Amos, but less than Dalar Amos is an Issa Derabbanan. So why over here is a mutter to stand in Rishus HaYochid and move something in Rishus HaRabim, as long as you're careful not to move it Dalar Amos? It should be us, even if you didn't move it Dalar Amos, because as we just said, the halach is, you're not allowed to do even less than Dalar Amos b'drabonim. So the Rishonim say a very big chiddush, the Rashba says a chiddush, that the Isser of carrying b'drabonim, even less than Dalar Amos in Rishus HaRabim, is only when you're going to be carrying a number of times. So that's when the halacha is that you can't carry less than that pox with Dalar Amos. Here you're only going to move the object once. Since you're only going to move the object once, and you're only moving it less than Dalar Amos, obviously, then the halacha is that there's no isser of carrying less than Dalar Amos in Rishus HaRabim. And that's the way the Mishnah Berurah actually paskins in Siman Shin Mem Tes, Sifkot and Tazayin. Continues the Mishnah, Lo Yamid Adam Rishus HaYochid, a person may not stand in Rishus HaYochid V'yashta Rishus HaRabim and urinate into Rishus HaRabim, or vice versa, Rishus HaRabim stand in Rishus HaRabim V'yashta Rishus HaYochid and urinate in Rishus HaYochid, because it involves taking an object from the urine from one Rishus to another Rishus. V'chein LaYoruk, and the same halacha is you may not expel saliva the same way. As soon as your saliva gets detached in your mouth. Lo yahalach arba amos. You may not walk down amos utch yorik until you actually first get that saliva out of your mouth, because otherwise you're going to end up be walking with something in your mouth, dalar amos in shusarabim, or carrying from shusayochid to shusarabim. Of course, the Lishon HaZov asked the question, if Rabbi Yehuda is trying to teach us that saliva in one's mouth is considered as if you're carrying, so why did he have to tell us the case when describing walking for 4 amos from Shusarabim? He could have just told us the case also when you're taking from Shusarabim to Shusayochid. So Lashon HaZov answers that actually we could have learned it in both ways. The reason the Mishnah chose to teach to us regarding walking down amos from Shusarabim is because that's more common, how people walk with saliva in the mouth. But it would be usur in either way if you walk from Shusarabim to Shusayochid as well with the saliva in your mouth. Begins the Gemara. Masn lech Rav Chinna bar Shalmi lechi barav. Rav Chinna bar Shalmi taught chi barav kamei de rav. Said in our Mishnah, lo yamer adam b'shusayochid v'tavl b'shusarabim. He says that you're not allowed to stand in Shusayochid and move in Shusarabim because Chazal were concerned that you may end up bringing the object from one rishus to the other rishus. Amalei, so chi barav said to Rav Chinna, shafkes rabbanon v'avdes krameya. When Mitzvah Shem going to learn a Mishnah, Daf Kuf Aleph Omer Aleph, that indeed teaches us, the Ramei's opinion is that it's Asur. So he asked him, are you ignoring the opinion of the Rabbanon who are lenient in our Mishnah and following the opinion of Ramea? Says the Gemara, how did Rav Chinna bar Shalmi come to make this error? Who saw her? He was under the impression, mid the Sefer Ramea, since as we just said, we're going to learn the Mishnah Daf Kuf Aleph, that clearly says the Halach is like Ramea. He was under the impression, so Reish Rameya, we follow Rameya's opinion in our Mishnah as well. And therefore, he had a different Girsa in our Mishnah, and his Girsa was Lo Yamid. And that's why he thought that way, for Lohi, but it was incorrect, but he's incorrect. Sefer, the Sefer indeed represents the opinion of Rameya. The Reish represents the opinion of Rabbanon, that we don't have to be concerned if you're standing in one rishus and moving an object in a different rishus, you're going to bring it into your rishus. But we learned further in the Mishnah, if you're standing in rishus ayachid and you're moving something in rishus rabim, you have to be careful, b'ach lo yotzi, you should not move it more than dalar amos. So this halacha applies seemingly, as Rashi explains, under all circumstances. Somebody standing in a home that's taller than 10 tefachim, and there's shusarabim, and in that case, obviously, if he's standing above 10 tefachim, he's moving the object that's in front of him also above 10 tefachim. Now, as we discussed as recently as yesterday, a shusarabim only goes up to 10 tefachim. So the Mishnah is teaching us that if you're standing on top of your roof, above 10 tefachim, the Mishnah is still teaching us that we're not concerned, according to our Mishnah, that you're going to take the object from the Shusayochid to Shusarabim, but we are going to not allow you to move that object, Dalet Amos and Shusarabim. So our Mishnah is teaching us that if you did take it past the Dalet Amos, you'd be Chayiv Chatas. But the question is, why? Haven't you transported it above Dalet Amos, above your Tefachim? And as we just said, when you move something above a Sar Tefachim, you're moving it in an area which is a Makom Ptor. And if you're moving it in an area which is a Makom Ptor, you ought not to be Chayiv. Lema Mesaile, should we say by learning this Mishnah this way, that our Mishnah supports Rava, the din that Rava said, Amar Rava, Hamavachef, it's Metchilas Arba, the Saif Arba, if you move an object, 4 amos from Shusarabim, the Vira Derech Olav, even if you move it above that 10 Sarah Tfachim, you move it above the area of the Shusarabim, you moved it in the Makom Ptor, you chayev chatas. That means as long as you did, according to Rava, as long as you did an Akira in the Rishus Rabim, And ha'anoch in the Rishus HaRabim, the fact that the actual object was moved in the Rishus, in the Mokum Ptor, is not permissible. So how are we allowing you to move this in our Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, Miktani, Im Hoitzi Chayiv Chatas. The Mishnah didn't say if you did this, that if you were standing above 10 Tfachim and moved an object from the beginning of four arms of Rishus HaRabim, but it wasn't completely in the Rishus HaRabim, you'd be Chayiv Chatas. Dilma, what the Mishnah meant to say is that if you would have done this, Im Hoitzi, if you would have done this, you would be Potter of Osir, but you're not allowed to do it. And so our Mishnah is not a raya that there's a chiyuv chatas as Rava suggests. Ikadamri, but there's a different version. Hahoitzi, that if you would have moved the object four amos from Rishus HaRabim, but the entire transportation would not have been in an area which is a Rishus HaRabim, pata aval osur, you'll only be chayim mit rabbonin. If that's the way we're going to learn the Mishnah, says the Gemara Lema to have it to you after the Rava, then our Mishnah will be contradictory to Rava, because Rava says Hamav Chayfes Metchilas Arba L'Soif Arba V'Viyu Derech Olav Yechayiv Chatas. Says the Gemara, our Mishnah could be understood differently. Miktani Hoitzi Potav Losa. Our Mishnah said, our Mishnah didn't say if you did it Yechayiv Midrabbanan. Maybe what the Mishnah indeed means to teach us, Dilma, what the Mishnah means to say is that if you would do something like this, you'll be Chayiv Chatas. So in other words, what the Gemara is saying is, there's no raya from our Mishnah one way or the other. We learned further in the Mishnah, the layam and adam rishus ayochid, a person may not stand in rishus ayochid and urinate into the rishus rabim or vice versa. Amra Rabbi Yosef, so Rabbi Yosef says, hishtin v'rok, if somebody did urinate or somebody did expel the saliva, that way he's chayiv chatas. So of course, when we learned Masechta Shabbos, we discussed extensively in the Mishnayos and the Gemaras that the Isser, that when, in order to be Chayiv for Hoitzah, what you carry has to be a Dovah Choshev. So the question here is, what is the Dovah Choshev that is involved in being carried here? And the Rishonim already say that the Mei Reglayim were used as a detergent, and since they use as a detergent, that's why they have a significance that you should be chayiv for carrying them. And even though, as we learned many times, that the mei reglayim were not used for a detergent until they were actually somewhat a number of days old, there's still the fact that they will ultimately be used for a detergent makes them already significant. That if you carry them out, you chayiv chatas. But ask the Gemara, but one of the fundamental halachas of Hoitzah is, of course, that you need to always have an akira and anocha. And the other part of that rule is, v'abinon, akira v'anocha me'al gabba mokam arba. You have to carry something, pick it up from a place which is arba tfachim. And in our Gemara, v'leka, you don't have that, because the place from where the Mei Reglayim, the bladder from where the Mei Reglayim emanate, or from the mouth where the saliva emanates, is not dalad al dalad. Answers the Gemara, machshavtoi mashvili mokum. The fact that you're interested to do this gives this akira a chshivas, even though it isn't actually dalad al dalad. And proves the Gemara its point. Dilay temat hacha. If we won't learn this way, hadam arava. Rava taught us a Masechta Shabbos and Daf Kuf Beis Amud Aleph. Zorak, if you threw an object on Shabbos, v'noch b'fi kelef, and it landed in the mouth of a dog, or b'fi a kifshin, or in a furnace, which is a small furnace, yechayiv chatas. So we have the same question. The mouth of a dog is not dalad al dalad. Why would you be chayiv? And what's the answer? Because el machshavtoi mashvelei mokum, the fact that you wanted it to land there gives that place, even though physically doesn't have the dimensions of a dalad al dalad, the halachic status of dalad al dalad. Hachinami, the fact that you want to urinate or expel saliva from wherever it's coming, even though it isn't physically dalad al dalad, the fact that you want to do this machshavtoi mashvelei mokum. So from here we learn that since you wanted it to happen, that's why it's mashvilei makom. So there's a very important discussion here amongst the Rishonim. What's, according to this, it's your machshava, it's your intent that's mashvei makom. So that would mean that you have to want it to land there. Let's say it wasn't your goal, in the case of the mouth of the dog, that it should land in the mouth of that dog. So then, and happened to land in that area, and that area isn't a dalet al dalet, so then you wouldn't be chayif. It's only because you specifically wanted it to land in that area, that gives that area the chshivas of a dalet al dalet. By Rava. So ask Rava. Who b'rishus ha-yachid? Somebody is standing in rishus ha-yachid, and he's urinating into rishus ha-rabim, upi ha-omer b'rishus ha-rabim. And his bladder is in the Rosh Hashanah. The tip of his bladder is in Rosh Hashanah. Mahu, how do we look at this situation? Do we look at Basa Akira's Linan? Do we say that we look at from the way the urine emanates? And the urine emanates from the person's body. And the person's standing in the Rosh Hashanah. Or do we look at the point of exit? Or Basa Yitzia's Linan? Do we look at the point of exit and leaving, and from where it's leaving the body, it's in the same rishus as where it's landing, and therefore wouldn't be considered a maisa hoitzah. And the Gemara says, teiku. The Gemara remains without a question. So the Rambam, since the Gemara remains with a teiku, paskins and Hilchos Shabbos, perek yud gimel halacha gimel, hay amir b'shus zu. The Rambam says that you're not chayim with the Raisa, it's only with the Rabbanon. And the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rambam that it's only awesome with the Rabbanon, not awesome with the Raisa. We learned further in the Mishnah, v'chein lo yorek, a person may not expel saliva from Shus HaYochet to Shus Rabim. Rabbi Yehuda says even more so, that if somebody has saliva accumulate in his mouth, he may not walk dalet amos shus harabim. This halacha is obviously a very important halacha, that you're not allowed to walk with anything in your mouth. The Sefer Chassidim in Siman Reish Samachay says that a person should be very careful not to eat sesames seed on Shabbos, because when you're eating something small like sesame seed, you may come to walk in the Rishus HaRabim, you may finish your meal, and there'll still be small particles of sesame seeds in your mouth, and you'll therefore come to walk with them in your mouth. And therefore, he says, the Sefer Chassidim, don't eat any food that are likely to remain in your mouth. And the Shaila Teshuvah Smichas Yitzchok, Chelek Hei Siman Lamed Ches, says it's based on what we just learned in our Mishnah, where the Mishnah taught us that you're not allowed to walk with saliva in your mouth, and that's the halacha that's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch Siman Shenun Sif Gimel. And just like the Mishnah says you're not allowed to walk with saliva in your mouth, that's why you're not allowed to walk with anything in your mouth. And in fact, I saw once a letter from the Sklana Rebbe Zitzal. He says that people on Shabbos are always in a rush. So some, not always a rush, they shouldn't be in a rush, but sometimes they're in a rush, and they finish a meal, and they are in a rush to get to shul or wherever, and they aren't careful that they've swallowed everything that's in their mouth, and they walk out. And if you walk out that way, it's usur, because you're walking out with food in your mouth and you're carrying from Shus HaYochet to Shus HaRabim and you're carrying Dalet Amos with Shus HaRabim. Obviously, if there's an Erev in the community, then it's not a problem. I did, however, see that there are Paiskim that are more lenient. And they say that the food in the mouth is not something that you're still interested in. You're not interested in that food. You're going to ultimately swallow it. And since that's the case, that you don't care if it's in your mouth, so it doesn't have a chshivas, and therefore, since it doesn't have a chshivas, then it's no isser if you end up walking with that in your mouth. The Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach in the Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kulchosoy says that it'll turn out that the halacha will depend on do you want that, does that food in your mouth bother you and you intend to expel it? Then it would be like the case of our Mishnah, that you would not be allowed to walk with it in your mouth on Shabbos. But if it's the amount of food or it's the type of food that you don't care if it's in your mouth, then we could be more lenient. So our Mishnah says that as soon as the saliva in your mouth is not attached, is already accumulated in the mouth, it's no longer considered part of the body, and therefore you may not walk with it that way. But however, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, when saliva accumulates in one's mouth, it first separates itself and accumulates in the mouth, and then it gets swirled around in the mouth. The question that we're now going to learn in our Gemara is, at what point is the saliva considered saliva? Is it just when it accumulated in the mouth, or only after it got swirled around in the mouth? What it's going to be relevant for is for, as we know, that all fruit cannot be mekabel tumah. Unless it became mukshel kabel tumah, it became susceptible to becoming mekabel tumah. And the way it becomes mukshel kabel tumah is by a liquid coming in contact with the food. And in the discussion in our Gemara, is going to be, at what point is saliva considered a liquid that it's machsher, that it could be machsher the food, the kabbalah's tuma? Is it as soon as it accumulates, or is it only after it's got swirled around? So from our Gemara, from our Mishnah, learning the words of Rabbi Yehuda, it seems even if the saliva has not swirled around in the mouth, it's already considered saliva. Ask the Gemara, the Mishnah Masechta Kelim, Periches Mishnah Yud, says the following. If somebody's eating a dried fig, with hands that weren't washed. We know that throughout Shas, it's relevant till Bizman Azeh, Stam Yudayim Shniyasein. Chazal said that hands are typically considered Tamei, and that's why you can't eat with you. That's why Chazal said you should do Natil Shidayim. We know that when we speak about levels of Tumah, we start with Aviyah Vaisa Tumah, which is a mess. Then we have an Avatumah, something, and then we have a Vlada Tumah. When we speak now of Avatumah, which is a Rishon Tumah, has the ability to be matama oichlim, but not matama odin v'kelim. After vlada tuma touches something, it becomes a sheni latuma. And as far as chulin is concerned, that is the last madrega of tuma. But when we speak about truma, it could go up to a shlishi latuma. And when we speak about kachim, they could even go up to revi latuma. So somebody has his hands, which he did not wash, which are therefore a sheni l'tumah, v'hichnes yod l'tachtiv, and he puts his hand into his mouth, litol tzror. He wants to take out something that's bothering him in his mouth. Remeya v'tama. He says that the food in his mouth now becomes tameh, because the saliva that accumulated in his mouth as he was chewing is a mashka, and that makes the food a shlishi l'tuma. Rabbi Yosef Mitar, because he says that the saliva is not considered a liquid. Rabbi Yehuda takes the following position. If he swirled around that liquid, so then that liquid is considered indeed like a liquid. The saliva is considered like a liquid, and then the halacha will be that the food that's in his mouth is tameh, because the roik that's in his mouth is machshir, the dveil for kabbalah's tuma. Your hand is a sheni l'tuma. So when you stick your hand into your mouth and you touch that dveila, you're making the food you're making into a shlishi. And as I said a moment ago, by truma, food that becomes a shlishi is indeed tamei. But, continues Rabbi Yehuda, lo hifach ba, if you didn't swirl around the saliva, so if you didn't swirl around the saliva, then it's not yet considered saliva. It's not yet considered a liquid. And if it's not considered a liquid, then the food will not be mukshel kabotoma and yitar. So we see that Rabbi Huda's opinion is that the saliva is not considered saliva until it got swirled around. And it says the Gemara, Am Rabbi Yochanan Mechlef Sashita. So usually in Shas, when we have the word Mechlef Sashita, the way we explain it is we have to reverse opinions. Our Gemara has a different definition. Rashi in our Gemara has a different explanation of Mechlef Sashita. In our Gemara, Rashi explains Mechlef Sashita means that Rabbi Yehuda reversed his opinion. And now Rabbi Yehuda holds that originally Rabbi Yehuda held like an Am Mishnah, that, and he now he holds unless it was swirled around. Is it's not considered an independent saliva. There's no need to switch the opinions. Our Mishnah is not speaking about saliva. Our Mishnah is speaking about kechay, about phlegm. And phlegm, everybody agrees, is considered independent without swirling around. Ask the Gemara for Tanya. Haven't we learned in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda mekecha v'netlish, that if his phlegm got detached, he's not allowed to walk in Rishus Rabbim until he expels it. My lav, roik v'nishlish, isn't the same halacha going to be by saliva. So how are you telling me that Rabbi Yehuda holds that it has to swirl around? Here we see that he holds this way even if it didn't swirl around. Loi. Says the Gemara, that's not the way to understand the Braisa. Kechav in Nitlish. By phlegm, it doesn't need to be swirled around to be considered independent. By saliva, it will be need. You will need to swirl it around to consider it independent. Ask the Gemara, but there's a different Braisa. V'tan Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a kechav in Nitlish. V'kein roikosh in Nitlish. Lehalach abba amsa chirorik. So you see clearly in this Braisa, the Rabbi Yehuda does not require that should be swirled around. Says the Gemara, al-machvatik ha-shnina me'kara. We have to say that Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind, and he originally held that it has to be swirled around. Ultimately, he held, even if it's not swirled around, it's considered independent. Amar Shlokish, continues the Gemara, kiech b'fnei rabbi. If somebody expelled saliva in front of his Rebbe, or phlegm in front of his Rebbe, chai misa. His chai misa shnemar, the pasuk says in Mishlei, ko masanai avamavis. Al tekri masanai, don't say people who hate me. Doesn't speak about people that hate the Torah, but what it means is misniye, the causes that the Torah should be hated. And the pasuk is saying, how do people cause that the Torah should be hated? By doing things that are disgusting. And if a person who's a Talmud Chacham, or a person who purports himself to be a Ben Torah, does things that cause people to say that the behavior of a Talmud Chacham, he causes the Torah to be hated, which of course is a very serious sin. Ask the Gemara, but this person is coughing. For a man is honest, he's coughing, and that's how the phlegm came out. Why are we so tough on him? Answers the Gemara, Kiech v'rakam rinan. We're speaking about somebody deliberately expelled it in front of his Rebbe. What he should have done is turn the other way or cough into a garment. In doing all these ways, it wouldn't be that you're doing it in front of your Rebbe, in front of your Rebbe. And that doing it in front of the Rebbe, of course, is a terrible thing. The Paiskim actually say that it's not only in front of your Rebbe. You're not allowed to do it in front of anybody. It's something that's, of course, very inappropriate to behave that way. The Gemara is speaking in front of the Rebbe because in front of the Rebbe, as the Gemara says, there's a chiyuv misa. In front of someone else, albeit that it's usur, it doesn't carry with it a chiyuv misa. Continues the Mishnah. Layam ranu b'rishus hayochid. A person may not stand b'rishus hayochid. V'yishta b'rishus harabim. by sticking his neck at Rosh Hashanah and taking a cup and drinking. You may not drink that way. For Chazal, we're concerned that you may end up bringing the cup from Rosh Hashanah into Rosh Hashanah Yochid. Or vice versa, you may not stand in Rosh Hashanah for Yishta Rosh Hashanah Yochid. For the same concern that you may take the cup into the other rishos, elam kein hichnas roish shivaruba l'makom shushayso. The only time it's permitted is if you stick most of your head and your body into that rishos where you're drinking. Then we don't have to be concerned for that you're going to transfer the cup. So the Achronim asked the question. We began today's shir with halacha that asalam rishos yoch lahashtam rishos rabim. Why did the Mishnah speak first about hashtana, about urinating, and then speak about drinking? So isn't drinking more common and comes first before the urinating? So I saw that the Kol HaRamaz answers that urinating from one rishus to another rishus is an issa d'raisa, or perhaps an issa d'raisa, as we mentioned earlier. Drinking from one rishus to another rishus, as we just learned, is no more than issa d'rabbanan. Because if you didn't take the cup from one rishus to another rishus, you haven't done an issa d'raisa. It's only we're concerned that you may come to do an issa d'raisa of transferring it from one rishus to another rishus. And that's why our Tana spoke about the case where there's an issa d'raisa first, the previous Mishnah, and then only afterwards speak about our Mishnah, which is an Issa Derabbanan. Another pshat that I saw is that actually the Mishnah is trying to teach us another halacha, that it's appropriate that before one sits down to eat, he should first urinate. And that's why the Mishnah first spoke about Hashtana in the previous Mishnah, which is what one should do first, and only after you've done that should you commence eating and drinking. And then the Mishnah says, and we'll speak about this extensively in the Gemara Mitzvah Shem, that so too is the halacha begas, at a wine press. What the Mishnah means with this, we'll see in the Gemara. So we learned in the previous Mishnais, I'm an Adam b'Rishus HaYachid, u'metalta b'Rishus HaRabim. And we explained when we learned that Mishnah, that the Mishnah represents the opinion of the Rabbanan, that we're not concerned that if you're standing in one rishus ayachid and move in one rishus and moving something in the other rishus, you're going to end up bringing in to that rishus in which you are standing, or vice versa. We also learned that's the opinion of the Rabbanon. Rav Meir disagreed that you may not do so. So ask the Gemara, Reisha, the previous Mishnah represents the opinion of the Rabbanon. They aren't concerned that you're going to carry something by holding something in one rishos, standing in one rishos, and holding something in another rishos, you're going to come to bring it in. And Rav Meir is concerned. So ask the Gemara, does that make sense? Usually the Mishnayis in a Perek, especially the Mishnayis which are Stam Mishnayis, which we know are the Mishnayis the Rebbe wanted to establish as the Halacha, are consistent with one opinion. So why in the previous Mishnah does Rebbe passing like the Rabbanon, and our Mishnah, Rebbe Paskin like Rav Meir? Answers the Gemara, Reisha Rabbanon for Sefer Rav Meir. How can we explain that? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yosef b'Chafetz Shetzrichon l'Avedivrei HaKol. Even though in the previous Mishnah, the Rabbanon were lenient, that's because the objects that were being moved were objects that weren't that important to you. And since they're not that important to you, that's why we're not concerned you're going to bring it into your rishus. However, here, where they're not that important, where they are important to you, the concern is much more acute, and the Rabbanan agree. Continues the Gemara, Boiluhu, Kamlos Mai. What's going to be the halacha if you're standing in one rishus and you're moving objects in a Kamlos? Which, as we've learned many times, the issa of carrying from a Kamlos to Rishus HaYochid or to Rishus HaRabim is an Issa D'Rabbanan. And the question is, are we machmer even in a situation where it may end up carrying from a Kamos to another Rishus, where you will end up only violating a D'Rabbanan? Amar Abaya, So Abaye says, the halacha is the same even if we're dealing with a karmos. Amar Rava, no, he gufa gzeira. As we just said, the entire isser of carrying from a shesayachol or shesarabim to a karmos is only an isser drabonon. V'anan nekem v'nig zegzeira l'gzeira. We never make gzeira l'gzeira. Because as we learned, Rashi says this, the Gemara says this at the beginning of Masechta Beya and by Cotton, the Pasuk says, which is the Pasuk that gives a license to the Rabbanon to make Gzeiris, the Pasuk says, Ushmartem es Mishmarti. And the Gemara learns, Asu Mishmeris Lishmarti. Chazal were given the license to make Gedorim, to make different Gzeiris to prevent us from doing an Avera. But we learn, Asu Mishmeris Lishmarti, V'lo Mishmeris Lishmeris. We make a Gzeira, but we don't make Gzeira L'Gzeira. So now, that's why Rava says, since the entire concept of carrying from a camel to Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah is only an Issa D'Rabbanon, we don't add to that Issa D'Rabbanon. So now the question is, how will Abaye defend himself? So the Rishonim give many different answers. One answer is that since Haitzah is something that's so common, so since Haitzah is something which is so common, Abaye felt that here we should make Gzeira L'Gzeira. And as the Ran explains, we spoke about this earlier in our Shia today, Haitzah is something that Chazal felt was hard for people to understand. As we said, if you carry a heavy object in your home all day, you will not be Chayiv. And then if you carry even the smallest object from Shesayach to Shesarabim, or vice versa, you will be chayiv. So therefore, Chazal were more strict when it came to the Malach of Itzah and even made Gzeira L'Gzeira. Another teretz that the Achroinim suggest is that we don't say this is a Gzeira L'Gzeira. It's Kula Chad Gzeira. When Chazal established the Isser of carrying from a Kamalist, this was included in that Gzeira. Another pshat that I saw from the Maram, that Chazal said that Chazal knew that people will have a hard time differentiating. It's hard enough to differentiate between Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah. If we're going to start giving Kamalists different rules, people will not be able to follow all those details. And therefore, they said, we're going to treat a Kamalist completely like Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah. Amen. From where do I see that even by Karmelis, Chazal were concerned that you may come to carry something from the Karmelis to Rosh Hashanah? So he explains, Midiktani, we learned the Chaim Begas. Amishta said that you're not allowed to do this by a gas either. The gas is presumably a Karmelis. And still the Mishnah is saying that we have to be careful that we shouldn't bring something from the Rosh Hashanah or Rosh Hashanah to the Karmels. So you see that this halacha, a Mishnah is teaching us, applies by Karmels as well. Rav Amar, so how does Rav defend himself? If the Mishnah clearly, according to Abaye, is teaching us that you know that you may not carry from a Karmels to Rishus, you may not stand in Karmels and drink in another Rishus, says Rav, our Mishnah, when it spoke about the gas, is a different halacha, is referring to a different halacha altogether. Rav Amar, this halach that our Mishnah said in Yigas is halach regarding Meiser. The Kenam Rav Sheshes, when the Mishnah used the word V'chein B'gas, it's regarding Hilchus Meiser. The Tanan, as the Mishnah Masechta Meisres, Perek Dal Mishnah Dal teaches us, if you drink Shtiyas Arai, you're not chayiv to take off Meiser yet. If it's a Shtiyas Kva, you are chayiv Meiser. So the Mishnah teaches us, Shloysen Algas, if you're drinking wine when still right in the wine press, that's considered a shtiyas arai. And even though Meiser has not been removed, it's not an issue. And they used to dilute the wine. And the Tanakhama says, bein b'chamim or bein mitzoinen, whether you diluted it with warm water or with cold water, it's not a problem. Bein potter, and you're still potter. Since you drank the wine when still in the wine press, by definition, that is considered a shtiyas arai. Divrei Remeya. Reb Lezer Bar Tzadok Omer, if you diluted it, the fact that you diluted it gives it a chshivas. The Chum Omer, and the Chum's opinion is, Alachamin, if you diluted it with warm water, So that shows that it has a chshivas, and you're not going to put it back into the wine press, then you'll chayiv emaisa. But if you drank it on with cold water, potter, because nachsas emaisa, if you dilute it with cold water, it's still able to be returned to the wine press, and that's why it's considered a shtiyas arai. So explains Rava that that's what our Mishnah is trying to teach us. Our Mishnah is trying to teach us that when is there a halacha that you could drink begas, arai, is if it's, you have to be careful that Rosh Verubai should be over the gas. In those times, the roofs of the homes were flat, and they used to put a coating of tar that would protect the roof, and they also used to put next to the roof pipes that the runoff of the water should run off those pipes. Now, not only did they have to create a situation that the water should run off the roof, they also used to create a situation that runoff should not hit the walls of the home and ruin it. So they used to have a maschila. A maschila is this pipe that goes along the wall, and that pipe that goes along the wall is called a maschila. And then we had a marzev. A marzev is where the water drops down a pipe from the roof to the floor. So says the Mishnah, Koilet Adam min maschila, rainwater that's coming down this pipe, he's standing in Rosh Hasharabim, and the water is coming down this pipe from that runs along the wall of the house. Lamata masar tfachim. You could stand there if you're below 10 tfachim, the water is below 10 tfachim, and you're catching the water, you could catch that water. Even if part of the pipe is above 10 tfachim from the Shus Rabim, the pipe is considered a Rosh Hashayachid like the roof, and therefore, if you're going to take it directly from the pipe, you're going to be taking from Shusayach to Shusarabim. When we talk about the pipe, even if the pipe is within 10 tefachim of the ground, it's not a problem. And the Gemara explains itself. Koilatin, the first thing in the Mishnah is that a person could take water out of the pipe that is along the wall of the house, but says the Gemara, Koilatin, you're allowed to collect the water. You're not allowed to put your mouth there to catch the water. My tama, what's the reason? We're referring to a situation when a maschila is right next to the roof. The kol pachs mishloisha, so since it's within three tfachim of the roof, kagagdami, it's treated like the roof. Anything that's so close to the roof, says the Gemara, has the status of the roof. And since it has the status of the roof, it's going to be considered like Rosh Hashayachid. And if it's going to be considered like a Rosh Hashayachid, the gutter is considered also like Rosh Hashayachid. So a person who's standing in the Shus Rabim, who takes water directly from that pipe, is involved in carrying something from the Rosh Hashayachid to the Rosh Hashayachid. And therefore, the Mishnah said, he could hold a keli up in the air and catch water when it's less than 10 tefachim from the ground. Since it's less than 10 tefachim to the ground, so what's dropping from this pipe is dropping in the Rosh Hashanah, and you're catching in the Rosh Hashanah, so it involves carrying from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, and carrying from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah is not usur. Tani nami hachi, and the Braisa supports this position. The Braisa says, "I'm adam b'shusha yochid. A person could stand in the shusha yochid, or malbi yada l'mal masar tefachim, and he could raise his hands above 10 tefachim above the ground. L'pachs mishal samach l'gag to a spot that's less than 3 tefachim from the roof, the koilet, and catch the water through the air. Uvatshlo yisparzarf, but he shouldn't put his hand against the wall at the place where he's collecting the water, because anything that's within 3 tefachim of the roof has the same status as the roof itself. So if he were going to do so, he's going to be transferring from the Rosh HaYochid to another Rosh HaYochid, but it's a Rosh HaYochid that's owned by different people. And as is the theme of this Masechta, you're not allowed to carry from one Rosh HaYochid to another Rosh HaYochid if you didn't make a Erev Chatzeres. Tanya Idach, but we learned another Braisa. Lo Yam Radim Rosh HaYochid. A person shouldn't stand in Rosh HaYochid. He shouldn't stand on top of the roof. V'yagbi Yad L'mal M'sarat Tfachim. And raise his hands more than 10 Tfachim above the ground. L'pachs M'tzam L'gag V'yitzarif. To a spot that's with 3 Tfachim high from the roof, from the neighboring roof. Avakalahu, he could catch the water as it falls through the ear, V'shoysa. Then the Mishnah said, "Minat sinar mikol makom shaisa," that you're allowed to drink water that's coming down the pipe in any fashion. You could put your mouth right by the pipe and drink the water. Tana, but says the Braisa, "Im yesh betzina dalar adalat," but if the width of this pipe is dalar adalat for tefachim also, because by doing so, once the pipe is 4 tefachim wide, it's going to be a kamlus. And if you're going to take the water from there to where you're standing in the Rishus Rabbim, so it's considered that you're carrying the water from a kamlus to Rishus Rabbim. Says the Mishnah Bar Rishus HaRabbim, if we have a pit in Rishus Rabbim, and together with the sand around the pit, it's Gevayu Tfachim, the halach is Chaloin Shal Gabov, somebody who is in a nearby Rosh HaYochid could drink, take water from the water hole through the window into his home on Shabbos. Malim Menah B'Shabbos. And another halacha. Ashpa B'Rosh HaRabbim. If you have a garbage dump in the Rosh HaRabbim, which is Gevaya Yud Tfachim, which is 10 Tfachim tall, so it becomes a Rosh HaYochid. The halacha is Chaloin Shal Gabov. If you're standing in a window above that garbage dump, the halacha is shayf klotach mayim b'shabbos. You could pour water into it on Shabbos. Ask the Gemara b'mayiskinen. Let's understand what is the case of our Mishnah. Ilayim v'smucha. If the water hole is close to the Rosh HaYochid, there's less than 4 tefachim between the water hole and your home. Lomeli chol yud. Then why do I need that there should be earth of 10 tefachim around it? Since the area between your home and the hole is less than 10 tefachim, so you're going from a Rosh HaYochid through the Makom Ptur to the hole. So even if there is nothing around the hole, it doesn't make a difference. You're going from one Rosh HaYochid to another Rosh HaYochid through a Makom Ptur, which is Mutter. And I saw interesting halacha l'maisa from Rav Shlomo Zalman Braun, the Sefer Shorim Mitzion Balocha, that if somebody makes a sukkah next to his home and there's less than dal tefachim between the window and his home and the sukkah, the window of his home or the door of his home and the sukkah, then since there's an area of less than dal tefachim, our Gemara just said, so then that's considered as if it's in a makom ptur, and you're allowed to carry from their home to the sukkah, or vice versa, without any concern. So therefore, explains Rav Huna, on Rav Huna, how do we need to explain our Mishnah? That it's 4 tefachim away, that this water hole is 4 tefachim away from your window. And therefore, if you have the chulya asara around it, so therefore, it prevents that your pail will ever be in an area which is the Rosh HaRabbim. That's why it's mutter. But if you wouldn't have this area around the pit, you would need to be concerned of kamatat m'shusayochid from your window, from your home to the inside of the pit, or derech Rosh HaRabbim if it's less than 10 tefachim high. Rabbi Yochanan Mafil Tem V'smucha. Our Mishnah could be speaking about that it's nearby. Hakam Ashmalon. The Mishnah wants to teach us another halacha, that in order to be considered Rosh HaYochid, you have to have a depth of 10. And the Mishnah is teaching us the bar v'chayosoi can combine to be the depth of 10. We learned that you have an ashmer shus rabim, as long as it's 10 tefachim tall. We learned you could throw anything out from your rishus hayochid. You could throw objects out from your house, and they will land on the garbage dump, and we don't need to be concerned because you're carrying from rishus hayochid to rishus hayochid. Ask the Gemara, however, v'lo chashinan, are we not concerned shema tinot al ashba, that maybe this garbage dump will be removed, and the height of 10 tefachim will, or not completely removed, but the height will be diminished? Ask the Gemara, haven't we learned at the beginning of our Masechta, for Ravin Bar Ravada Amar Yitzchok, Ma'aseh b'Mavi Echad, there was a situation with a Mavi, Shetzid Echad Kol Liyam, we know a Mavi has to be enclosed, this Mavi, one side went into the sea, Vetzid Echad Kol Ashba, and the other side went into a garbage dump. Obam Masl Fnei Rebbe, and the question was brought to Rebbe, V'Loyam Abba Lo Yisav Lo Heter. Heter Loyam Abba, the Cheshina Shemitah Not Lashba. We have to be concerned that maybe this garbage dump will be removed. V'yalayam certain. We need to be concerned that the sea will bring up sediment and it won't have these mechitzas anymore. Isloyam abo, but he couldn't say that it's not considered a mavi, the kayam mechitzas. But we clearly see that we need to be concerned sometimes that the garbage dump, that the ashbo, will be removed. Why is our Mishnah not concerned about that? Answers the Gemara Lakasha. Hadi Yachid, what we learned at the beginning of Masechta was the ashba of a yachid. That we have to be concerned. However, our Mishnah is speaking about an ashba of a rabbim. An ashba of a rabbim is not likely to be diminished. People just keep on adding trash to such a place. They don't remove it. And therefore, our Mishnah, if there's an ashba, we could assume it will remain there.